This is Rio Pacino with another Bearing Point podcast. Today I'm joined by Brian Hartz, who is a managing director in Bearing Point's financial services. Brian, thanks a lot for joining us on this podcast.
Pleasure.
Now, Brian, today's topic is trading performance and risk management. First question for you. Given the kind of work that Bearing Point has done during the recent market crisis, what key lessons have we learned so far?
I think there are a few of them. I think, some of them, no doubt others will probably opine on at great length in books and academic journals around, whether hedging worked or how it could work better and whether the derivatives that people hedged with were really effective and whether or not investors knew what they were getting into. But if I had to think about specifically how we've helped our clients, I think that there are probably five major areas where there's some pretty significant lessons to be taken into consideration. The first one being, and if you've ever been on a trading floor, this, none of this will sound terribly surprising to you, but the inefficiencies that are sort of very common in day-to-day activity on a trading floor, it impedes a business somewhat in good markets, but when markets become very stressed, it strangles the business. And great examples are when, I'm the head trader and I run a business and somebody comes to me with information that I've requested. I look at it and I have questions. I walk out to the desk and I ask the head of the desk and he says, I have no idea what that report says. Here's how I look at the business. And then we spin around trying to find out what answers are. But that's very common, except when you have people calling your office about every 15 minutes asking for updates and wondering what's going on. It strangles the department, and people who should be market-focused aren't. They're focused on things like reporting and information. Secondarily, transparency of risk. It is something everybody's talked about as being very important, but it really doesn't exist today the way it needs to. And when you're trading, particularly when you look at the structured products market and the credit derivatives market, et cetera, it's more important than ever. I think, and one thing that we've learned as we've kind of gone out into the market and started helping some of our clients, they have all the sort of minimum risk reporting that's required in order to use certain types of models for regulatory capital purposes, but it doesn't really get at the dimensions of risk of their business. And executives and line managers find themselves not really understanding or seeing all the risks that they're taking in the market. Third, data and analytics can really give you a tremendous advantage. Nobody who trades would be surprised by that. You'd be amazed at where shortcuts had been taken for cost reasons and other reasons, all very good reasons to do it. But there are some investments in data and analytics that could really provide an advantage. I'll give you two quick examples. One is most recently in the structured products market, data, underlying performance data on the underlying loans for the bonds. You'd be amazed at how little of this data is actually kept by firms that trade mortgage product. And the second one being, in the analytics space, it's very expensive to run a lot of the core analytics that are necessary to get at risk and performance information on these businesses. It takes a lot of hardware to actually run them, and it takes hours and hours, in some cases days, to actually get output. And people underinvest in that regard, and it just takes forever to get this stuff. So two things I would say. One is that if you had that information, say, daily instead of weekly or monthly like it gets today, you have a much more current view of the business and how it's performing. The second thing I would say is that most of the traders that I've talked to have told me that if they had that data and those analytics available to them every day, they'd have an easier time making money in the market. Fourth thing I'd say is single integrated performance and risk management framework. We've written white papers on it. It's something that we talk to a lot of people about, and essentially it's this. Everybody gets some view of financial performance of their book. Everybody also gets some view of risk in their book, whether it's position information, basic sensitivities, or things like VAR calculations. It comes from separate parts of the organization, usually comes in thick piles of paper that trade managers have to sift through to find information. And if they're lucky enough to find it, and if you've ever met some of these guys, they're very busy throughout the day, they might be able to act on it. Otherwise, they're going by their gut, what they're hearing on the floor, and what they're specifically looking for. We've recommended that people really take a different view of that and look at all of this information in kind of a single measurement framework. And then finally, what we've learned is that, you can really increase your capabilities in all those regards without spending like we did for Basel II and Consolidated Supervised Entity. Massive investments in risk management, but that didn't really benefit the front office. And a lot of front office managers and risk managers are saying, we need better tools to help us manage risk. And we've been able to kind of build and implement those capabilities without those major budgets.
Why is investment in trading performance and risk management so essential? And why did recent investments in Basel II and the consolidated supervised entity rules not enable organizations to avoid these kind of losses?
I think if you look at Basel II and CSE-related investments, you'll see that they're very defensive spends. And what I mean by that is this. Most of that investment is around better measurement of risk, better measurement of capital after you put the transaction on your books. So in essence, once the trader makes a trade or once the loan officer extends a loan, that's when it gets captured. That's when you measure it. That's when you look at how much capital has been consumed. And I would also say, even though, you know, things like ratings and what have you that are major components of both of those sets of rules that are somewhat forward-looking and people look at that before they actually extend credit, the vast majority of it was meant to just get advantageous capital treatment. So it really wasn't focused on how do we take risk in the marketplace, how do we make better bets, and how do we have a better sort of day-to-day handle on our business. And I think that is why right now people are very much looking at these saying, it was a good first step. You know, we need to know what sort of risk we put on at the end of the day, tomorrow, and the next day. But we also need a lot more investment in terms of how we're actually taking bets. So a couple things I would say. If you're in stressed markets, you need different types of information than what Basel II and CSE will provide you. You need a lot more what-if information. So what if, say, for example, the HPA moves in a certain way or basis on a trade moves a certain way. To ask certain questions of your data to get new insights that weren't necessarily available to you. Secondarily, you need sensitivity analysis every single day and stress scenario information every day. Very, very computationally intensive information that right now you get, but it's very high level, and you might get it weekly or monthly, but you have to have that stuff every single day. Those investments in Basel II and CC don't give you that. P&L, risk, capital on a flash basis, and what I mean by that is before I leave at the end of the day, I've got some high-level view of what that is, and when I come in the morning, I have a very good, fully reconciled view of what that is, so it's complete. And I'm using a bit of trader parlance there, but in essence, it's very difficult to get a lot of this information on a flash basis, and they call it flash because it hasn't gone through all the systems. You know, it's really just based on our snapshot view of the business as of the end of the day at a certain time. Maybe not all the trades got entered, but it gives a trade manager a view of what's going on before he goes home at night. And when he comes in the morning, he's got the complete view, and he knows exactly what he needs to do that day. Today, that stuff is, you might get a slight flash view. There could be a 40% variance when you get it, and it might be end of day the next day or into the day after. So very slow. CSE and Basel II don't address any of that. Second major issue is competitive advantage. Knowing how much risk you're taking before you do a trade or before you do a deal on the lending side, knowing how much capital you're going to consume and what the return on capital would be, those are advantages that most organizations just don't have. And market participants are starting to look at that now and say to themselves, how do we invest in these capabilities to give ourselves an advantage that others don't have? Data is another area where we talked about some of that underlying loan-level data in the structured product space. Those are all things that give people an edge. If I know that a certain pool of loans is performing better than the market's got them priced, I can buy that bond probably cheap. And once people actually get the information that the loans are performing better, I win on the upside. There's a lot of advantages to having these sorts of investments in place. And then the last point I'd make here is that balance sheets are very tight right now. There have been a lot of losses. You guys have seen all the press. And executive management is allocating less and less balance sheet to trading businesses. So trade managers need to be able to look at the balance sheet they've been allocated and say, how do I make sure I get the absolute most out of this balance sheet that I've been given? Because I want to have an advantageous return profile so that I'm looked favorably compared to my competitors. So those are the big three reasons why we think it's very, very important to do these things now.
Talk about how you're advising clients in their bid to change how they operate, make better bets in the future, and also avoid some of the pain experienced during this major crisis here.
Absolutely. Maybe I'll just talk generally about the trading space and then hit a couple of key areas just in the structured product space, given that that's such a hot topic in the press right now.
Okay.
I think that there are probably seven major areas where we are advising our clients, and I think the first is, and I've said this a little bit earlier, you need to put integrated position, performance, and risk information into the hands of decision makers more reliably, more quickly, and more cheaply. Right now, it takes days, weeks, months to get this stuff. It's never integrated. You got to piece it together through various reports. It all looks different. You got to understand how this reporting structure compares to that one. It's just not there and available to them. We've helped people really pull this together in a single cohesive framework. Secondarily, make the investments you need to make to reduce the confusion on the trading floor. Standardize those views and have everybody use the same information so that we're all talking from the same page. Third, eliminate the unnecessary costs and risk management in the middle office. There's a lot of stuff. These guys spend a lot of their time, and if you go around from place to place on the street, the amount of time they spend just managing data and reporting is amazing. These are highly educated people, many of them with postgraduate degrees, very market savvy, and they're creating reports, and they have staff that are creating reports, and they have headcount that are there for one purpose only, and that is to create reports. So these people who should be looking at and analyzing risk and advising the business, they are reconciling reports, making sure the reports make sense, trying to get some sort of insight in it as they're running into their trading counterpart's office to have a discussion. You need to do all that because you need to free up those people to really do what they're meant to be doing, which is the next thing, which is give them time to actually do the analysis. Some of our clients, it takes them a month to do an independent revaluation of the structured products portfolio. That is a lot of work, and it is highly, highly complex. They spend so much time just trying to get the numbers done and just trying to be sure that they actually are using the right data to do it, that they don't spend the time doing what they've been hired to do, which is challenge the assumptions that the front office is using on pricing, challenge the assumptions in the underlying models. And because they're not doing that, there's less comfort that the valuations that they're putting on the balance sheet, for example, are not right, you know, or that they may not be right. So you really have to free those guys up to really do the job that they've been hired to do. Next is helping management focus on problem areas as opposed to trying to find them in a sea of paper and data. If you look at all the information that's provided, all the various executives who have responsibility for a single trading area or multiple trading areas, you're going to find that they've got to seek out problems. And unless somebody comes to them with them, they're on their own looking through paper. And that is very, very difficult to do. So we have helped people sort of dig through all that and use technology to bring the problems to you. It doesn't mean you don't have access to all that same information that you like to have. It just means that you're actually letting technology, at a minimum, do some of the groundwork for you. And once you get through the things that your technology highlights through alerts and things of that nature, comparisons day to day and things of that nature, once you kind of go all through that, then you can, you know, do whatever you want to do with the information that you have and ask whatever questions you might want to have. But at a minimum, you know certain things are looked for and found for you in a much more reliable way. The next piece would be valuation and accelerating valuation. And some of our clients, we've improved the timelines for completing valuation on some of these positions anywhere from 30 to 60%. And it really comes down to basic data management investments. Don't have highly valuable resources building spreadsheets and models on the fly to do valuations, hoping you get enough coverage to meet your basic regulatory standards and keeping an exception list. Have technology do the work for you so that your very bright, very capable, market-savvy people can actually do what you want them to do, which is look at that value and determine whether or not it's marked correctly. Then lastly, just improve the quality of the information that you do have. Reduce the number of metrics to the things that are actually really important and use metrics that provide insights into your business. I think if you look at stuff, you'll see all the basics that, you know, the regulators demand that you do use and a couple of other things. And then, you know, managers kind of do back-of-the-envelope comparisons, this to that, this to that, and come up with some sort of a view as to whether or not things are operating the way they need to. Focusing on and approving that information is a very important task. It'll actually improve your insights into your business. So those are the things that, generally speaking, in the trading space, we advise our clients to focus on. I think when it comes to the mortgage space in particular, I'd say there are probably six things that are very specific to that. And, you know, when you hear these things and you're in the mortgage space, you probably say, wow, that's, you know, we'd love to do that, but it's very difficult to do, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But number one, execute a daily robust three-tiered stress testing process on all positions. I am not aware of anybody on the street that does that today. It is a very, very challenging thing to do, but it is very important. By three tiers, I mean executive management, stress testing, and scenario analysis. I mean trading management, number two, stress testing and scenario analysis, and I mean at the trader level itself. All three are very valid. All three are needed. All three have different value points, and all three are very computationally intensive. But making those investments will provide you with the insights you need to manage the risk of that business. Clarity of performance on the loan level, we talked about this a couple times before, but really understanding the loans that underlie your bonds will help you understand how your bonds will behave under stress and in good markets. Three, clarity on how assumptions migrate. Trader does a deal, prices it a certain way, assumes things like cumulative loss and prepayment speeds and interest rates are all going to work a certain way. All that stuff changes the day after the trade happens. And understanding how those assumptions migrate will help you understand better how your portfolio is going to move as the market changes. Next, I would say be absolutely clear on what you have financed and to whom, because there's a very good chance you will own it again. And what I mean by that is this. We do a deal for an investor, and we put together some sort of a security, be it a mortgage broker or an insurance company. We put together this deal, and we sell them the security, and they finance it, and we do something called a repo transaction. If that person experiences credit problems and is not able to make payment terms, and we're holding that security that we sold them as collateral, and it's something that is either A, not something that we as a matter of policy would typically hold on our balance sheet, or B, is something that is eroding in value because as our counterparty, their credit quality started to deteriorate, there's a high degree of correlation with the credit quality of the asset we're holding, which means its value is less, which means it's going down in value. So we may not be even be able to sell that asset or might have to sell it at a discount and not recover what we've lent. So that's something that probably bigger on the broker-dealer side than the bank side, given banks are a bit more experienced on such matters and they've got more incentives in place to do that. But it was an issue for many people on the street. Number five, I'd say data management. Data management, data management, data management. In these trading businesses, it is there are massive amounts of data that are required to do just about anything. And by and large, they are manually driven. And by investing in these things, basic tools to store data, basic tools to move data, basic tools to explore data, basic tools to use data to create information through analytics, whatever it is, there are a variety of places, particularly in structured products business, where that is extremely important and can reduce cost, it can improve the timeliness of information, and can give you an advantage in the market. And the last thing I'll say, and I'll let you move on, I know you're interested in the next question here, but it comes back to this integrated performance and risk management framework. It is pulling all that together into a single reporting framework so that a trader, a trade manager, and an executive knows how much risk I'm wearing, what kind of return am I getting, and how much balance sheet am I consuming to do it.
Now, Brian, why is integrating performance and risk information so important, and why don't organizations do this now?
It's a great question, and probably the best way to answer it is with a bit of an analogy, and I'll keep this one shorter than the others. If you look at all the high-profile executive departures that we've seen in the market in recent months, to a person, whether it's in the press or in backroom discussions, they've all said, if I had known that we could have lost that much money trading in these products, I would never have either, A, gotten into the business, B, given them that much of a limit to actually trade, or I would have gotten out of them sooner. And the reason for this, there's many, many reasons for this. And people walked down the risk curve with their eyes wide open. But, you know, all the things we talked about, the stress scenarios, et cetera, knowing how much loss could be incurred with changing market conditions and looking at that relative to how much we're actually making on these things, most people gave up as much or maybe even more than they made in the last few months. So if they had known that the potential for loss was that large, they may have pulled back. They may have pulled back. Didn't mean that they wouldn't go into it, because you basically got a fold-up shop if you're not going to do certain things. And in certain credit bands that people were very big on in the early 2000s, you know, spreads dried up. So you either went down the value, you went down the risk curve where the spreads were, or you didn't do any deals because there wasn't any profit in it. But if you knew at least what the trade-offs were, revenue, capital, and risk, you probably would have made more informed decisions, and who knows, maybe some of the outcomes would have been a little bit different. Probably would have still lost some money, maybe not quite so much.
Now, Brian, before we end this podcast, I have one last question for you. Talk about some of the indicators an executive should look for in understanding whether there is a need for this type of initiative in their organization.
Great question. I think basically there are a few questions that that I always ask whenever I sit down with either a trading manager or a risk manager. And if they answer yes to any of these, I'd say you probably want to think about whether or not you want to make some investments in the information that your traders use or that risk management uses. I think the first one is, are there differences in the information you use to manage your business that lead to confusion in how traders' desks, trade management, and risk management and finance look at positions, risk, and performance? Secondly, does risk management spend more than 20% of their aggregate time managing data, producing reports, reconciling reports, or troubleshooting reporting errors? Very common issue and not the best use of risk's time. Number three, does standard risk reporting take more than a day to reach trading and executive management? This should be stuff that hits your desk in the morning to give you time to actually react to it before an entire day of trading goes by. A day in trading terms is an eternity. Do you get P&L information after 11 a.m.? Same basic issue, except it's more on the performance side, P&L being profit and loss information. You want that information as early in the morning, fully reconciled by finance, as you can get it. After 11, you may have problems in your middle office or product control, maybe issues originating in the front office that preclude them from getting that to you earlier, but you don't want to wait over a day to get your P&L information. Number five, do your managers have to kind of sift through paper reporting to understand the economic picture of the business? In other words, if you don't have electronic reporting with the ability to explore your data, that's probably problematic, and you're probably not getting the right kind of information to the people who need it. I guess number six, does the information that you really need to manage your business, meaning I get a report, I see the information on the report, I have five questions, and I have to launch a sneaker brigade to go get it that comes back to me in a day, 2 days, a week, a month. If that's the case, we've probably got some issues around data management and reporting, and we need to resolve those because as a trading manager, I need that information today. And in a crisis situation, you've got executive management, board members, analysts, other people firing in with questions all the time, and you need to be able to answer them with confidence because there is a perception you need to manage around people's confidence in your ability to manage the business that you're in. And then lastly, I would only say that, have you taken some significant losses and your management team expressed dismay that they didn't really understand the magnitude of risk that was being taken? And it's not something you talk about openly and what have you, but if you feel that way, and a lot of places I've gone, I've heard that very thing from very senior executives, you may want to revisit the information that you're giving them. And that's pretty much it. If you answer yes to any one of those questions, you may want to start to revisit trading performance and risk management.
Brian Hart is a managing director in Bearing Point's Financial Services. Brian, appreciate the time, and thanks a lot for joining us on this podcast.
My pleasure.